Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the mighty King. Behold, you come. You have come. And it changes everything. And we are thankful. Lord Jesus, we come now to get together and come into your word by your grace, by your design, pouring out living word by the power of your Spirit, that you might, Father, overcome both sinner in preaching, sinner in hearing, all of us together coming before you, and ask that you would confirm in us what needs confirmed and convict in us what needs convicted, that we might put off the old man and put on the new man and be transformed and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we would think your thoughts after you, that we might align ourselves biblically, that we might walk by faith that is commensurate with your power, with your beauty, with your omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence. We praise you. We thank you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord, where we have those strongholds in our hearts, our minds, please come and rescue us. Deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Is that mic still on? I was planning on that. Oh, that's all right.
Can you hear me?
Oh, nice. Wow. Well, I was planning on using that mic to start off with because I was thinking about... Sometimes when I call Gabe, and if you're one of these people, you need, like Gabe in this regard, sometimes, not all the time, but when he's riding in the truck, and I had that with my fundraiser specialist just the other day. You ever had this happen where you're riding, they are riding, you're sitting in your, at your desk or wherever you're at, and you know you have good reception, but they get in their car, get in their truck, and they say, hold on a second, I got to hook you up. And then all of a sudden it's, got an important conversation. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else ever had that happen? Raise your hand. Be honest. Now, who of you are the ones that are in the car trying to use your Bluetooth? And you got one of those? It just drives you bananas. And then inevitably it's,
hold on a second. I'll turn it back off.
And then they talk to you, and it's like this. They're just talking to you clearly. You can hear them nice and clear. Everything's good. All things are back to normal. The stars are in alignment. And yet, I look at my phone, and I look, am I still? Yeah. You see the timer going so that you know you're on that call, and it's still going, so you just kind of wait. Anyway, having a clear connection is important. My topic is preparing your heart to walk with Jesus. And if you'll turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll go from there. Having that clear connection to talk to the Lord is, at the end of the day, that's the point, walking with Jesus. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Walking humbly with our God means I want to hear clearly from Him and be directed by Him. Amen? That's the substance of all that we have in Christ. We want to hear from the Lord. And the problem is, we have a lot of noise around us all the time. There is external noise, and there is, which is just, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's news, whether it's media, on and on and on. There's external noise that just, it is sound and fury all around us. I told the story about how when I first became a beekeeper, everything was, I thought it was just grand and really neat. I had the vacuum going. Derek was training me and had the vacuum going. As long as the vacuum was going, you have all that noise of the vacuum. It's just, right, John? And John, he's like ice runs through his veins. He doesn't have to worry about it. But me, I didn't think I was having a problem until the power shut off. And then you don't hear the vacuum anymore, and then it's all bees. And they're really loud. When you're in the middle of a swarm, they are pretty loud. The world around us has external noise that is very loud. They oftentimes intend it that way. Cancel culture is that way. They want to be screaming in your ear. There's external noise. There's internal noise. Our own internal noise. Anyone else talk to yourself all the time? Anyone else? You're arguing with Jesus, and you're wondering, is that Jesus or is that me? Or is that just Jesus trying, is that me trying to say it's Jesus who sounds like me? And there's ways we can check that, right? And then there's the eternal sound and fury. The eternal sound and fury is what we want to pay close attention to. So we're going to pick it up at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll come back and kind of set the context. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, he had executed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then as he lay, he slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of the food of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' And then the Lord said to him, 'Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Now let's back up to verse 1. All right, so Ahab and his wife Jezebel have already established in their land that Baal worship is the idol, is the nature of the day. It's just the day we live in. They lived in that day. It was a day of multiplicity of gods focus on Baal, but it was idolatry in the land. And what do we have today? We have as standard issue, it is idolatry. It's not the same Christian nation. We know that. And so that, but the fragrance of there is all over the place. The fragrance of the gospel, the establishment of the gospel, the foundations of what the gospel laid, it's all over the place. It's there. But we live in a day not far. We can imagine, we can put ourselves back in those shoes. Now, Elijah came along and he challenged the prophets of Baal, challenged Jezebel's favorites. And they had 850 prophets that went up to Mount Carmel, way up north. 850 prophets, Mount Carmel, and Elijah does his thing, which is an awesome thing. Wouldn't you like to be there when fire comes down? And Elijah is, or even before that, I'd like to be there in the morning. I'd like to be there in the afternoon when Elijah starts to mock the prophets of Baal. Maybe your God's asleep. What's wrong with him? There is no other God besides Yahweh. He mocks during the day, and finally at the evening sacrifice, he says, okay, now fill it up with water, fire comes down, and then they kill the prophets of Baal. And you're thinking, revival, great awakening. Now, wouldn't it be great if we had that happen in America? You can see this thing happening, the prophets of Baal all around us, demanding that we are the gods you shall bow down to. We need to step up and say, no, we need to bow down to Jesus Christ. He is King, and fire comes down from heaven. What would we expect? You expect a great revival. That's what we pray for. If God doesn't bring a great revival, a great awakening, it won't happen, right? It just doesn't matter. It won't happen. So what are you thinking when you're Elijah and you have all of the prophets of Baal killed? You're thinking, great revival coming on the land, right? No. What happens? He goes back into town and Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. It's not just cancel culture coming after you. I'm coming after you. And it didn't seem like the whole of the citizenry were out there to help him. Now he's on the run. Now he's got to book it out of town. And he has the external noise of Jezebel saying, I'm going to kill you. And she has the power to do it in the flesh as the queen. She means business when she comes after him. So, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. That didn't make her so happy. And that certainly gave her the angst to come after Elijah. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. That's down south, belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So let's just stop right there. External noise. External noise for Elijah is Jezebel. What's the external noise for you? I can tell you what it would be for me, for some of you. Bad news for Jason to contemplate about Lisa. That's external noise. Anyone else got that going on? That's not just external. That's sound and fury. I don't know about you. To me, that's sound and fury. External sound and fury. And what do you do with that? For Elijah, it may have been Jezebel, but your Jezebel at that point is cancer. And, or the car wreck, the whatever. All of a sudden, the peace that I felt is this external sound and fury weighing in. So what's the answer to that? Just die. You with me? Just die. What's the difference between that and Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross daily? The whole of Christian life has these extreme amplitudes. Well, life has these extreme amplitudes. All of life. Doesn't matter who you are, and we can't escape it. If you live, we are going to have our fair share of suffering, period. Why? Because this isn't all. It's not Jesus come save me and wipe my brow for here and now so it all be just over. No, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the first call, the very first call to follow Jesus isn't I want to make you feel better, it's take up your cross daily. That's the first call. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the first call. Now, that is so crucial. If you find yourself, if I find myself at a point where there's external sound and fury, I need to stop and say, why do I hear all this noise? Why do I hear all of this incredible noise? I am scared to death. It says right there, he feared. I am scared to death. I remember when the whole deal went down the first time when we, you know, the Christian only prayer at Coolidge, and we had national networks calling me. I was scared to death. Why the sound and fury coming in from the outside? Well, I'll tell you why. If you're a Supreme Court justice and you make a decision that overturns Roe v. Wade, and they all show up at your house and they're outside your door stomping, waving their flags, they want to burn your house down, kill your children, and eat them. Talk about violence. It's external fury coming after you. What are you going to do? I'm glad for men and women of character to take a stand and not be moved by the violent threats. That should character, that needs to characterize us. So when we have external sound and fury, and the noise is really weighing in, the bees are all around, and we have fear, first place to go is, am I dead to self? Have I died to myself and my will? What is it I want so bad that I'm afraid to let go of? I want my wife that bad. I'm afraid to let go. Right? What do I want to obtain? It's a maintain and obtain. Want to get and want to not, or want to not let go of, or want to gain for myself. These are the things that come in the way, and they make the external sound and fury all the more amplified. You want to calm it down, sacrifice it on the altar, let it go. Start there. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying we start there. What Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be a living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice do? Lays on the altar. Dies to self. Says, Lord, have it your way. Whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want it. You want real joy and peace. You want to walk with Jesus. It starts with us taking up our cross. And when it comes to fear, fear is a great emotion to pinpoint what my idol is. There's nothing wrong with having a love for my wife, a love for my children. It's when I put them at an elevated spot that the external sound and fury of I got to protect, I got to hold on at all costs, no matter what. That will weigh in, and that will create things like depression, anxiety, stress. That's when I start to yell at the kids. Well, hopefully not yell. But you can yell with your eyes, right? All of that external sound and fury weighs in, pushes us towards fear. Should be a real quick reminder. I'm really not dead to self at this point, Lord. What do we do? What do we do? Well, let's keep on reading. So it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. It's kind of funny. She wants to kill you. Why don't you stay there? She'll kill you. No. You see, it's not like that, is it? When I say just die, I'm not talking about that kind of suicidal death. You can't do that. It's die to self and live to Jesus. Elijah knows it. He gets this. He says it in the next phrase. He says, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. If you ever contemplated suicide, have you ever contemplated suicide? You don't have to raise your hand. You ever contemplated suicide? Let me just tell you, Elijah is not contemplating suicide here. What's he doing? He's going to the Lord. Lord, you kill me. His mindset, his worldview is one that says, I just want to die. You ever been there? You ever said that? I want to die. I have. Lord, I'd just rather die right now. I've prayed, Lord, if I'm going to mess this up, please kill me now. Anybody, you ever afraid that you'll just mess it all up? I've watched guys in ministry mess it all up, whether it was porn or adultery or neglecting the kids. There's a myriad of ways that we could just mess it all up. Lord, please kill me now. But it starts with the Lord. We look at the Lord. It starts with the perspective of looking at the Lord. If you've ever contemplated suicide, I promise you, your first perspective you need to get is look at the Lord. You need to look towards Jesus and stop looking at self. That's the start of our problems, is our sinful self. I totally understand what Elijah is going through with his internal noise at this point when he says, it's enough. I am done. Here I have been, I thought I was being faithful, which is kind of a proud move, right? We always want to humble ourselves when we think we're the only ones living for Jesus. Humble yourself and realize that God's got men and women all over the place that are living for Him, but by God's grace, you wouldn't be living for Jesus in the first place. The internal noise, though, of thinking, I am just done. I am so over it. Lord, please just take me. I can sympathize with that. I can relate. And that internal noise is very loud. And it gets louder the more you focus on yourself. Are you with me? Yeah. The more you focus on yourself, the louder that internal noise gets. The darker it gets in there too. It gets really dark. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if you circle the drain of self, it's going down. The best place to do is take it to the Lord and start with Jesus and start circling up. Here's one way you can do that in the midst of the darkness, okay? Are you with me? How do I get out of that when I have internal noise now? The external noise weighing in, now my internal noise is just, it's just crazy. It's all dark. Go with the black and whites. Start with Jesus. What do you know about Christ? What do you know about God? What are the black and whites that you know about God? And then start speaking it into your soul. That's what David did, Psalm 42. Why are you downcast? Why, oh my soul, are you downcast within me? Anyone ever, have you utilized that verse? Use it up more than the Prozac. I use it all the time. All the time. Why are you downcast within me? Hope in God. Start the focus on God, even if you want to die. Focus on God and let, if He wants to kill you, He'll do it in His time. It's better to die at Jesus' hands than Jezebel. Ultimately, you're always going to be dying at Jesus' hands because He determines. Jezebel doesn't get to you unless Jesus says, okay, I'm going to use Jezebel. All right? Point being, focus on God. That's the first place we go. We have to start with focusing on the Lord, with our internal noise. He says, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Internal noise also comes about as a manifestation of physical issues. Sometimes you just need to go to bed. I mean, seriously. You just need to go to bed. Look at this, verse 5. Then as he lay, he slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake and baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Well, if you just outran a horse and chariot for that distance, you'd be tired too. Can't you just see? Sometimes I drive down the road, I see these guys riding the Harleys with the big old gray beards and the wind is blowing it backwards. It'd be kind of funny if you're riding on a chariot with a horse and you see the same thing with a guy on foot running past you. Just kind of a silly sight. Well, what's the point? This wasn't just all of a sudden Elijah got extra protein. It's a supernatural thing, and a supernatural thing in a physical body. So when he comes down, he is tired. He's worn out. Do you, have you watched your own body count? Have you watched your own body rhythms? And here's what happens to me. Every Sunday, it's just, I go home and feel drained. Saturday night's a rough night of sleep. Don't get any sleep. Sunday, I just go home drained. Sunday night, don't sleep. Wake up the first time after. I have two sets. I don't sleep that well anyways. First set, it's just a short set. And then I wake up and I think the sky is falling. Everything is falling apart. Everything's going to die. And it's all my fault. And I just wake up with that. It's just miserable. It's all your fault. Your children are going to, you know, go off and never love Jesus. It's your fault that you're going to end up in divorce. It's your fault that on and on. And I know, based on my own internal clockwork, I see it happen all the time. I'm just tired. All of these worries are a great time for me to go quote Psalm 42. And Romans 8:32 and Psalm, on, and just keep with my eyes focused on what? Focused on the black and whites of who God is. I wake up after that first set, I go to prayer, I focus on who God is, stop focusing on self. After a while, I go back, I get a couple hours sleep, and I wake up, and behold, the sky is blue. The sun does come out. And in the meantime, in 2 hours, the house didn't cave in. I look in my children's room and they're alive. Wow. It's just sleep makes a difference. Our physical issues weigh into our internal noise. Okay? You guys know this. A lot of you ladies have done your work on the natural realm. You take the natural realm side by side with the things that we've known in Dominion Medical. You take these things together and we work on where we're at physically. Our physical nature weighs into our internal noise. The internal sound and fury, it makes a difference. It made a difference for Elijah. Lay down, get up and eat. Lay down, get up and eat. The angel of the Lord is like, eat. I don't have a big lecture for you right now, Elijah. Just eat. If I was running that fast, I would, in your shoes, in your age, I'd eat them up. Isn't it great? You got an angel for lunch. I'm not, you don't eat the angel for lunch. He's a cook. Stop. I mean, you go to those restaurants where they come out, the cook comes out, and they do some highfalutin cooking. I don't know what this angel was like. He's probably like, bologna, bread, eat. I don't know. Doesn't, you know, when you're hungry, it doesn't really matter, right? You just give it. Give it me. And that's enough. And once you eat a little bit, you lay down and go back to sleep. And it's huge. It's huge. Our physicality. Some may need to just go to bed. Some of you may need to go see a doctor. Right? Do you understand? Or call up some of these ladies. This right here is a pool of wisdom that's been researching these things for, you know, combined years. It'd probably go back to creation. Maybe not that far, but, you know, I'm not saying y'all are old. I'm saying there are many. There's a lot of you. And you do a lot of that, you know, searching online, and it's good. It's good. So you have the natural that weighs into your internal noise, but that's not all. So we start with, I die to self, sacrifice it all. It's all yours, Lord Jesus. And then we go to the black and whites. What do I know in the midst of the darkest times? What do I know to be true? I know at least this much. I shouldn't kill myself. You with me? It's not okay. It's not biblical. Don't do that. And you may be at an extreme point, but you need to know the black and whites are there in Scripture, and they're not. It's not worth debating. And by the way, don't go kill your brother just because it might make you feel better. That's a black and white too, thou shalt not kill. All right? So, we go from that, we get some rest. Physically, we get some rest. We eat. We might need to go see the doctor and get your hormones checked. after my wife went through all that she's gone through as we've gotten older. I mean, this is a woman who's, I wish I could say I was as flatline, you know. It's the armies are outside, they're coming in. And she's like, well, what should we do now? There's a missile coming down on our house. Well, maybe it's time to leave. It's crazy, and I'm always jealous. I'm like, why did I freak out? Why didn't I just do that first so I could be the cool one? See, I'm cool too. No, it's, but then when as she got older, she went through this period of these anxieties are just off the charts. Well, how about we go get you checked out by the doctor? Lo and behold, oh, well, you have, the, I don't know, quintanachylopius, you know, your hormone quintanachylopius is way up here. In fact, it's so far, we couldn't catch the peak because it's still going up. Whatever it was, all I know is she doesn't usually freak out and she was really wigging out. And I could tell. I can see it in her eyes. I can watch it happen. And sure enough, even high blood pressure, I can watch her face and usually be able to tell. But these are practical things that happen that you know there's a physical reason why, and it's weighing into the internal noise. We practice scripture. We'd go to bed and she'd say, read to me from the Bible. Amen. That's where it starts. And then we add into it, maybe you need to take, I don't know, you could ask estrogen. Whatever. I don't want to get too personal, but you know, whatever it is to balance things out. And that it helps. It helps. Natural stuff. And unnatural, the stuff from the doctor. All right. Pressing on. Then as he let, wait, verse 8. So he arose and ate and drank and went on in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Horeb, the mountain of God, what else has happened at Horeb, the mountain of God, in the past? It's another word for Sinai. That's back in the day of Moses, gets the burning bush. He is at Horeb, Exodus chapter 3, meeting with God, who is in a burning bush. Now that weighs into our situation here. He went to as far as Horeb, and there he went into a cave. So he's at the same place Moses was, and we don't know exactly, could he be at the same cave that Moses was when God went before him, when he said, "Let me see your glory." And God passed by him. Now, many commentators would say yes. And knowing God and the story writer that he is, it would not surprise me, right? Wouldn't surprise me if, hey, Elijah, look over here. Moses, when he was here, he scratched his name right there. He spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him. Within the internal noise, I'm done, it's all over. The word of the Lord came to him. Isn't God gracious? He's still focused on the Lord. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Now, this is Elijah. What's he doing here? Obviously, this is not for God's benefit. It's like God coming to Adam in the garden. Whenever you get a question from the Lord, it's not really to inform the Lord. He knows what's going on. What's it meant to do? It's obviously to ask you, okay, get you to think. He's leading you to come to the right conclusion and to think about the right thing. So what are you doing here, Elijah? What could he rightfully say? Instead of, I've been faithful, he could say, I was running away from Jezzy. She scared the tar out of me, and now I'm miles away from where I was because I'm running away, and I'm afraid. And at that point, have you ever thought of this? When you know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. And then you wind up in a place, in a cave. And God says, what are you doing here, Rob? Anyone else ever done that? And I have to sit there and say, I don't know. Why am I here? And at that point, I can usually connect the dots back to some sinful fear, anxiety, depression, something that I embraced and ran away on my own. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So now here you are at a location where you can directly connect the dots to some sinful response of the way we interacted with our situation. Right here, this time, this first time here, it's God saying, what are you doing here? And He can connect the dots right back to running from Jezebel. At that point is when I feel really guilty. And in comes the internal noise. It gets amped up and say, see, you did it again. Anyone else said, you see it? I did it again. No one else? Boy, you guys are good. I do that on a regular basis. You did it again. No use repenting. No, at that point, you and I have to repent. Why? Because I feel guilty. Conviction is good. It is so good. I am here not because I was dead to self. I am here not because I was thinking in the midst of the darkness, what are the black and whites? Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Let you lean me in all my understanding. I am here and now I'm feeling better. I've slept. I've gone to the doctor. I'm taking care of physical issues. I am here because I ran in fear and now I feel the guilt I should feel. I should feel this. This is good because God is coming along to me and pointing out an idol of my heart. And if I'm going to prepare my heart to walk with Jesus, the first thing I want to do is take care of those idols. I took care of it at the beginning. I said, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you want, however you want, whenever you want. And I'm going to sacrifice those idols. But guess what? They just keep on coming up. It's like John Calvin said, the heart is an idol-producing factory. Wasn't it Calvin that said that? And now, by God's grace, I recognize that there is another one. I am here because there's another idol. I ran in fear. I didn't walk in faith. And now I'm where I'm at because I didn't wait upon the Lord. And now I feel guilty. Okay, great. So what do? You're going to spend a couple hours beating yourself up for that? Well, I've got to make sure that I pray for an extra hour now. No, don't focus on self. What do? I repent. I got off track, Lord, because I left you. I walked in fear. I did not walk in faith. So I repent. Lord, please forgive me. I am in this cave because, yes, I walked in fear and not in faith. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. And at that moment, the shackles come off. I am forgiven. I claim the redemption in Christ. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I go with that, and I just keep on repeating that. That's my light. Instead of circling the drain, I'm circling upward. I claim the forgiveness in Christ. Why? Because it's written in His Word. I'm forgiven because Jesus said He would forgive me. So I'm in this cave, but I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I am free. God knew I was going to be in this cave before I knew I was going to be in this cave anyway. God is sovereign over it. I'm here by divine design, and at the same time, I confess my sins, and I walk in freedom from forgiveness. Praise the Lord. That is, you don't get that anywhere else. People find a million different ways to get rid of their guilt, and they're all wrong. You can only get rid of your guilt in Jesus Christ and His blood. And then you have that for Christians. I can get rid of my guilt in Jesus Christ, but they don't. They want to add to Christ's sacrifice and beat themselves up for a couple hours. Forget it. That's not helping anything. You're going to stay in the cave for a while, and it's dark in there. It's cold. And there's rats. Get out of the cave and Claim the forgiveness in Jesus. Start focusing on the Lord. Amen. What are you doing here, Elijah? Meant to have him examine, connect the dots, say, I repent. Forgive me so that he can walk in forgiveness. So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Well, he has. There is a truth there. But again, it's a focus on self. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. Is that true? When we are focused on self, everything becomes skewed. Pride skews our vision. It always skews our vision. We have to get forgiveness, redemption in Christ so that we will focus on the Lord, because pride skews the vision. And then I look at my wife in my pride and I say, I build up the case for why she's at fault. Right? You ever done this? Every guy in here better raise his hand. You need to be with me. You look at your wife, you're building up the case for why she is wrong. And what did Jesus say? Take the log out of your own eye. Humble yourself. Take the log out of your own eye. Any of you have marital issues going on? Guys, we ought to start right there. Take the log out of my own eye means I start with stop building up a case for why it's my wife's fault. Her little speck is nothing compared to my log. Instead, build up the case for why I am wrong. Build up the case for why she is beautiful, good, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave her to me. I don't feel like staying in this cave any longer than I have to. Do you? Don't do it. And ladies, you do it too. We know that because we're all sinners. We know this already. Pride skews the vision, makes everything go upside down. He's not the only one left. Now, that's internal noise. Let's get to the eternal noise. So you have the external noise, the external sound and fury, internal sound and fury. Now we have the eternal sound and fury. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. That's a pretty heavy wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now let's stop right there and let's look at eternal sound and fury. Because is God in, what does he mean by that? Does he mean he's never in the fire? Well, of course he's in the fire. God holds the fire together. He appeared in the same place to Moses in a fire. Right? In the same, very same, well, probably the same place. In a fire. God calls himself in Hebrews 12 a consuming fire. So that can't be what he means, that he's not in the fire. It's the delivery that he is bringing to Elijah. The message didn't come. Do you see all these incredible, monumental, huge works that I just did? That's not the message I'm delivering to you, Elijah. Here's the message I'm bringing to you, and it was in a still, small voice. When Jesus rose from the grave, earthquake. Massive displays of miraculous, of the miraculous. Now, when we start talking about hearing God, walking with God, preparing our hearts to listen to Jesus, there are two pits that we often fall into. One is, I have to have the supernatural just like they did in the book of Acts. And I'm just warning you, I'm just trying, just telling you, if you're wanting tongues of fire to be over your head like this, there's fire again. If you feel like that you're not spiritually alive unless you are just like the church in Acts, I think you're setting yourself up for a fall. God did such a massive work in the book of Acts, if we understand the context, going from Old Covenant to New Covenant, going from Holy Spirit in the temple to now residing in you. That is so massive that the miraculous was the grace of God showing, yes, the Holy Spirit's now been given to the Gentile dogs. Well, at that point, it was to the Jews, but you understand that massive shift. The need for the miraculous was crucial. It was huge to help them understand we are shifting from old covenant to new covenant. And folks will say today, no, we're a dead church because we don't see the same thing that happened in Acts. I wouldn't expect the same thing that happened in Acts. If you truly understand what God did going from old covenant to new covenant, you wouldn't expect the same things to happen in Acts. Now, there's that side. I've got to see the miraculous. You have on the other side, oh, I don't need to see the miraculous at all. God doesn't do miracles anymore. I would say that's a pit too. Of course God does miracles. There's miracles whenever somebody becomes born again, whenever somebody gets healed. He's doing miracles around us all the time. And oftentimes we don't even recognize it or stop and acknowledge. We pray for this person to get healthy. They get healthy. Where's Alex? Man, you are my example of prayer and miraculous. Is Alex in here? He is the example. How you can't get much closer to death and then brought to life. Could you? I mean, it's just an amazing picture of God's miraculous power. So there's two pits we can fall on. One is, I got to have the miraculous or I don't feel Spirit-filled. Why are you Spirit-filled? Do you have to feel it? You're Spirit-filled because Luke 18 says, if you ask the Father, He will fill you with the Spirit. That's why. It's not based on how you feel. It's how much you, the Spirit, has, not how much of the Spirit you have. It's how yielded to this Ephesians 5:18. How yielded to the Spirit am I? Lord, I just want whatever you want. I'm yielded. I put myself in the path of your filling. So, whether I have the miraculous or not, I know I'm filled with the Spirit because God said He would do what He did. He forgave me my sins. He filled me with His Spirit. And He continues to do that. On the other side, it's a total denial of the spiritual realm, and that misses the boat too. Because ultimately, what do I want to get to? Being so yielded and Spirit-filled that I get to this point. After the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he says the same thing over, but it's a different context now. "I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael," who is a pagan king, by the way. They had worked with Israel and sometimes been for and sometimes against. "Anoint him as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." In other words, guess what? Elijah, you feel like it's all falling apart. There was no great revival. You thought there was going to be a huge revival, and guess what? There wasn't. Just because you didn't see great, massive revival taking over the land doesn't mean I'm not still at work. I am at work. And I'm not just at work with Israel. I'm at work with pagan kings. I want the whole thing. And you don't get to see the whole thing, Elijah. You don't get to see it all. You just do your part. But don't think for one second, because you can't see things happening, that I am not at work. I'm doing the whole thing. So what is my ultimate takeaway at this point? Prepare your heart to walk with Jesus. It's this. Pray myself into that situation whereby I hear that still small voice, and although it's a still small voice, it comes in like a sonic boom. It speaks loud and clear. Why? Because when it comes in loud and clear, all the other voices diminish. It's just downplayed. The volume goes way down. And that still small voice impacts my soul like a boom. And it takes me out of that depression and into the joy. All right, so starting at the beginning, I see. Let me give you one another little practical before I try to sum it up. On January 6th, I took a couple of daughters of mine to Washington. January 6th became the big deal, right? So we go to Washington for that reason. I wanted them to see history. God's providence played out in history in American life. And I wanted my vote to count this time. Even if I was a little dot on the map, I wanted to say, we'll be in the picture, we'll be a dot on the map, at least our vote counts in that regard. While we're there, we're standing on the over by the Grant Memorial, across the street from the Capitol. We never went onto the lawn, we never went into the Capitol building, nothing like that. But when it was all happening, and he should have been there, it was just crazy, as they're inviting people in, and you can just see this thing play out, and people are starting to crawl up onto the Capitol building, I'm looking at that, and I'm talking to another dad and other people that are standing right beside me, and I'm talking to one of my daughters and saying, what are they doing? Wow, should we go? And I started to pray. Honest. It's one of those prayers where you have external noise. Everybody's hooting and hollering, screaming. I mean, you can imagine. It was crazy. Not crazy in a bad way, crazy in a good way. External noise. There was internal noise. Me talking to Jesus saying, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'm willing. If you want me, I'll go. I'll charge the Capitol. And then there is the eternal sound and fury, which came in as a still small voice and said, Rob, what did you come here for? That's it. He asked me a question. It might have been just me in my head noise, right? I'm not saying that I'm speaking for God ex cathedra. Here I'm talking about dealing with the Lord as I'm praying. And it felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart saying, what did you come here for? I said back to the Lord, to bring the girls to watch providential history play itself out and to be a vote. And that was all. That's all I needed. I didn't come here to join a rebellion and go into the Capitol. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't need to know. All I knew is the Lord got us safe thus far, and it was good. Don't now jump into the fray of what you don't know and get out ahead of the Lord. Now I'm ever glad that I didn't. Because they're hunting them down. They hunt me down. I didn't do anything illegal. I stayed on the right side of the street. But prayer with the Lord, listening to His still small voice, went out ahead of us. So I'm thankful. We lean upon the Lord. All right, so now, in recap, coming from the bottom here, or I say I'm doing my memory pegs, coming from the bottom, coming from my toes where they're dead. And I remember, die to self. We have our fears because, why? We're not dead to self. Jesse came after Elijah. He ran. He's afraid. I'm going to die. Die to self. That's our first calling. Next, lean on the black and whites of Scripture. When it becomes dark, when it becomes, and we can't hear, where's the Lord in all of this? I got to lean on the things that I do know to be true about Jesus, about life, about my situation. Number three, I might just need to lay down, go to sleep. Physically, how am I doing? Do I need to go see the doctor? That all weighs into my internal noise. Number four, after that, and God confronts me, and if there's sin in my life, I confess, forsake, and I receive the forgiveness from God. I am set free. Yeah, I'm in a cave. I got myself here. It's my fault. I walked in the flesh. I don't want to continue with that. I want to celebrate Jesus and forgiveness. I am set free. And I get up, and I move on. Where do I go? Then after that, I come face to face with God in the wind and the fire and the earthquake. God is bigger. I focus on God. I fear God more. When I fear God more, I fear the world less. Fear the world less. Fear the sounds less. Everything else gets quieter. I check my worldview. Do I have to have a miracle? No, Lord Jesus. What I need is your word. Do I say that God won't give me a miracle, that miracles never happen? No, Jesus. I want to trust in you and your word, what Christ has said, and land on his word. It is a good anchor, a good compass. And then after that, as I bring in his word, what has God said to me in Scripture, then I listen for his still small voice. I wait upon the Lord. It may be from the Lord. It may just be me, but I check it in the Word. And I want to be guided. I want to be guided by the Lord. I want to hear him and walk it out biblically. I want the still small voice to come in like a sonic boom and stop me in my tracks. That's how I learn from Elijah to walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that we would prepare our hearts, that we would wait upon you, that we would solidly land on your word, what you have said, and let you lead and guide us, that we would not end up in a cave, or as we have seen even in our own recent history, end up in some prison cell because we got out ahead of you. But may we walk with you with hearts that receive your word, your still small voice, to calm, to guide, to direct, that in the end, Lord, our ultimate focus and trust might be that you have all these things in the power of your hand and you are controlling all the events of the day. And may we walk with that kind of joy and peace and bring proper reflection of your glory. I pray, Lord Jesus, in your name, amen.